Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special, probably not quite on schedule, episode of Connectivity. I'm your host, John Reardon, and I'm joined by Alex DeFreitas.
Howdy.
It is, we're recording this, I guess, several hours. This morning was the Nintendo Direct for September 14th, and we're recording this at a little past five that evening. So we're going to go through and talk about four games that we, you know, feel like there's some meat to that we can talk about. But before we do that, Alex, what were sort of your general impressions of this Direct?
So my biggest takeaway from this Direct is that Piora was right. And we should be paying attention to that account always. I think it was a fine Direct. I was not blown away by any one thing in particular.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things that I'm like, I was pretty excited about. I'm excited for Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. And there was that one Atlas game that was kind of like Ogre Battle on N64.
Yes.
I'm already forgetting the name. It's like Overlord Tactician. I think it's one of those.
Okay, so there was that, and then there was like Unicorn Princess or something. What was the unicorn one? Because there were two games very close to each other that I felt like sort of had similar vibes. Maybe I'm getting them confused.
And there was a Saga game. There was a lot of like
there
weird
was also
RPGs.
A Saga game.
There was a lot of tactics RPGs. Not all of them were ones that I was interested in, but that one I was. There was that Warlord as well.
That was like the indie one, right?
Yes,
that one I did think looked kind of interesting.
Yeah, and that one shadow dropped today. So
oh, did it? I wasn't even paying attention. I should go grab that.
I'm gonna go like look at it.
Yeah.
I think as far as like the big Nintendo stuff, it's a lot of remasters. It's a lot of games you've seen before, maybe prettied up. But I'm getting the sense that the Switch is in its final years and like we're slowing down on the good stuff, which is fine. Like, honestly, this year's been incredible. I'm okay with pumping the brakes a little bit. I'm trying to catch up on games that have already come out this year and last year and the year before that even. So like a bit of a tepid response, but I'm not angry either. Mm-hmm. Nothing about this was upsetting except for F-Zero, and we'll get into that very soon.
Oh, you were okay. Yeah, we'll get into that. I had like decent Direct. I did notice when it was done that, with the exception of F-Zero, which is debatable how new that game is, there were no new first party Nintendo games announced. All of the first party announcements were remakes. And all of the non-remake Nintendo games we saw were games that had been previously announced.
Peach Showtime could have been an easy, just announce it this time.
Yes.
You don't need to prelude it.
Yes, I think they really shot the legs out from under that game by giving it that weird tease in the previous Direct, where if this had been the first time that we saw that game, I think there would be a much bigger reaction to it.
Yeah, but that'd be the headline.
Right, but now it's just sort of like, oh, we're clarifying something that we kind of already knew about. I think I talked about this on a Connectivity back when the June Direct happened, but I think talking about that game then, I think we decided then that they wanted to just talk about everything Mario they had because of the Mario movie, but I think talking about that game at that point was probably a mistake.
And they even have more Mario stuff.
They do.
There's so much Mario.
There's a lot of Mario. But yeah, so like fine Direct. I think if you're a fan of old Mario RPGs, what a time to be alive. like the fact that there's a Nintendo Direct with a trailer for both a remaster of Mario RPG and Thousand Year Door is just stupid.
Yes, well, it smacks of all those Mario and Luigi remasters and remakes that came out for the 3DS.
Yeah,
during like the last couple of years, it smells like the exact same thing. I'm curious what they are going to do in terms of the next Paper Mario. Like, will it be like Origami King, or will we see a return of a more like straightforward turn based RPG?
Yeah, I think there's some potential for them to get some very interesting data points off of Thousand Year Door, and to some extent Mario RPG as well.
Oh my god. The sales numbers of Origami King versus Thousand Year Door.
I'm
very curious already.
Well, and I did look up Origami King earlier, and I believe it's about like 3.5 million, maybe mm-hmm. 4 million, which is like fine for the kind, like that's, I think that's the best selling Paper yeah. Mario game.
No, that's really good for Paper Mario.
Right. Like, we're not talking Mario Kart here, but like those sales numbers are perfectly fine. I'll be very curious to see where Thousand Year Door lands next to that. Because it's weird with that kind of game, because there's like a very vocal little corner of the internet that feels, I think, a lot bigger than it is. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much sales potential that game actually has. So that'll be super interesting.
I'm not sure if it beats Origami King. I'm sure it beats itself, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. Did it break 1 million on GameCube? Like,
bro, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think there is not a doubt in my mind that it outsells the GameCube one easily. No problem. And, you know, I'm glad that, as someone who has no affinity for Thousand Year Door, I'm glad that it's coming out so people can stop asking about it. I'm not sure.
Okay, don't get it like excited that the discourse around this game is going to get any worse, because going to, because people are going to start making comparisons.
Yep.
Yeah, and oh man, it's going to be a rough year.
Yeah, it's going to be, what will the Blue Muppet on YouTube talk about if not Paper Mario controversy? But okay, let's sort of get into each of the, or well, not each of these games. We're going to talk about four of these games that we think we can,
the big ticket items.
Yeah, the big items for us personally.
Oh yeah, let's throw in just a quick mention for the Recode games.
What are those called?
I am very happy those are coming out. I have no idea what they're called, and I've already forgotten.
Yeah, Another Code Games. What's the Another Code Recollection? Is the name of the duology. Yeah. But it's a DS game and a Wii game, correct?
Yes. And the DS game we got, but yeah. We didn't get the Wii game.
Yeah.
I believe these are the people that did Hotel Dusk.
I believe that's correct. Someone will correct us if we're wrong.
Though Neil, I think, said that they no longer exist, so I'm not sure who is making these games.
It's a good question.
It's very cool that they're out, and it kind of feels like Famicom Detective Club, where it's just like, hey, we got these weird games in a very specific niche genre, and we're gonna like do a proper high effort remaster of them, which is nice.
Right. Well, and you can tell, I mean, the fact that one of these games is a DS game, you look at the trailer for this game, it does not look like a DS game. So well done.
Yeah, high effort remakes, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not one of the games we're gonna talk about.
Nope.
But good job to that game. First thing we are gonna talk about, F-Zero 99. Was announced and released today. Mm-hmm. It is I hesitate to call it a totally new game, because in a way it kind of feels like a new game mode for F-Zero, just the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah.
Because even the courses and everything are pulled from that game.
Are they one-to-one? I'm guessing they had to be different, because the very starting point of a 99 race is...
Yeah,
like,
so, and I guess we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, F-Zero 99, it's a battle royale. 99 racers go in, only one will win, and only like 50 will survive to the end. I have died a lot in this game already. But yeah, so it's the courses are pulled directly from the Super Nintendo game, but I like when you first start, like all 99 racers are lined up side by side in this kind of massive funnel that funnels them all into a ramp that launches them into the course. And I think that's a really fun way to like that initial like run through that funnel as everything gets more and more condensed, I think is really fun.
And trying to hit all the boosts.
Yep. Trying to get out into the lead, because like, holy crap, being in the middle of that pack is chaotic, I think, in a fun way. But I guess so you, when we were talking earlier, said you had some, I don't remember how you referred to this. Sounded like you weren't 100% in. For F-Zero 99.
It is, well, it's like any 99 game. I'll play it for an evening and then think, oh, that was kind of fun, and then never pick it up again and just be sad we don't have another one of those games.
Right.
Which like isn't the case for Tetris or 2D Mario, because you know, we have Tetris Effect, we're gonna have Mario Wonder. for Pac-Man. Like, who cares about Pac-Man? I guess some people do.
I care about Pac-Man World 2.
We got repack.
Yeah,
so
we got repack. Pac-Man World 2 still not at this Nintendo Direct. Get on.
Just
it,
a matter of time. They had to put out Bankaitos 2.
That's true. Yeah, priorities.
To no
that,
fanfare.
That came out apparently. Did anybody buy it?
Bankaitos is a game that only exists to be talked about in podcasts and never
right.
played.
Nobody actually owns it. But yeah, F-099. I get what you're saying. And like, given a choice, would I rather have a new F-Zero game? Yes. Will I take literally any sign of life from F-Zero after? Mm-hmm. Like, we just celebrated the 20th anniversary of F-Zero GX. There is a vintage review on our YouTube channel. Check it out. It's got Daniel Bloodworth doing his original voiceover for his review. So, like, obviously I want a new one, but just getting some sort of F-Zero, I like that. So that's exciting. Yeah. And I do think there are interesting concepts in this. I do wish it was getting like an actual release that I could buy.
Yeah.
Because Mario 35 has me living in fear of the day in like a year where this just disappears from the world.
I mean, I am happy that we got F-Zero literally anything.
Yeah.
It feels like Federation Force, where it's like, here's this cool multiplayer concept that it will be very fun to the people who can see the good in it, but it's like, give me a real game in that series, please.
Right. Just, I get what you're saying, where it's been so long that having the thing that comes out be sort of like a spinoff almost. Though I will say, I do think that the F-Zero 99, like that format, it fits very naturally into F-Zero.
Yes.
Like, there isn't anything that's really not normal F-Zero in this. Like, you're kind of just playing, like, even like F-Zero GX was what, I think it was 30 racers. I don't remember how many were in F-Zero X. But like, this concept of having a bunch of racers and then each lap the ones below a certain position getting knocked out, and obviously if your ship gets destroyed you're knocked out, like, that gameplay is just normal F-Zero. So
no, you're not wrong.
Like, it does just sort of feel like
it feels like being in the middle of the pack in F-Zero GX always.
It really does. Yeah. And I do like, they have some cool new mechanics in this. One, they changed the boost to work the way it does in the later F-Zero games, and not like it did in the original F-Zero, which I like, because I like the risk reward of like balancing your power versus using the boost. They have this weird thing where when you bump into people, especially like certain golden cars, you mm-hmm. get points that can then be used to access this like sky road that lets you skip things, yeah. Which is neat. And overall, I think they do a good job of like it, because I was doing a comparison video that I don't know if that'll be up yet by the time we post this, and switching back and forth between F-Zero 99 and the original F-Zero, they do a good job of mimicking the physics. Like, it's not exactly right, but it's very close to right. Enough that you can switch back and forth. It's definitely better than either of the Game Boy Advance games. Or any of the three. How many are there? Three. There's one we didn't get. So I do that. Like, it plays well. It plays like F-Zero. Yes, I want a new F-Zero. But this format works really well as an F-Zero game. Like, this feels more like F-Zero than Mario 35 felt like Mario, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the issue is mostly with me. Because I'm not super into a competitive game like this. Like, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with it. So sure. For me, it's like, I'm going to probably play until I see all the courses. And then dip out, maybe do one Grand Prix.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that it exists. The other thing is that I do think it plays better than SNES F-Zero. Maybe it's because like I can see more. Maybe it's because it's like actually 3D versus Mode 7.
Yeah. So the combination of it being in widescreen, so you had all this periphery. And then they also like the tracks are the same size, you move at the same speed. We tested, so I'm sure. But like essentially you can see farther down the track. Like mm-hmm. it's almost like the camera's at a lower angle. And so yeah, you can see stuff coming up way earlier than you yeah. could on the Super Nintendo one. It has the effect of making you feel like you're going slower. At least that's the way I feel. And I know, I think I was talking to Joel DeWitt in the NWR Slack, and he said the same thing. Yeah, I do think it makes it easier to just like perceive what's going on in the courses when you can see that much of them. It does. Mm-hmm. It feels well, and I think it's, I mean, it's just a smoother playing game, obviously, like a higher resolution. I do like that they're using it's, it almost reminds me of like the NES Remix kind of stuff of using all these old assets, but like rearranging stuff in a new way. It's a cool concept for a way to sort of reinvent an old game.
Yep. I guess the one final knock I have against it is that for me, F-Zero, as someone who grew up playing GX, is about how like the courses will twist and turn and
sure.
do all these wild things. And when you play this kind of game, everything feels very, very flat.
Yes.
And there's just no getting around it because of the kind of game that it's emulating.
Right. Yeah. F-Zero had a major kind of shift in its courses on the N64. I do get why they chose to use the SNES game as a base from a technical perspective. Mm-hmm. This is probably a lot easier to work with. I would love to have this as a mode in an F-Zero GX style game, though.
Is Death Race on N64 anything like this?
Kind of. Yeah, Death Race, I feel like, has more of a focus on actually destroying everybody else's car.
Okay.
But yeah, like it's a similar idea. That's the other thing they added from the later games is the ability to spin your car to attack other people. I think it's a cool game. I really hope that this is a sign that like there's more F-Zero to come. I do think I'll probably keep playing this. I tend to like games like this. And hopefully it means that F-Zero GX remaster or new game is just around the corner. We'll see. We all have to spend a bunch of money on this so that they know, I think that's how it works, that they need to make more F-Zero.
How long do you give this game before it gets sunsetted?
I'm going to say, oh, well, like Switch 2 is coming out, what, next year? I'm going to say like a year and a half.
Okay.
I'm going to say by summer 2025. I guess that's like 2 years. By summer 2025, I think it dies. Whenever the next 99 comes out. I am surprised that this and Pac-Man 99 are currently coexisting. I also really would like them to bring back Mario 35 at any point now. Maybe we have to wait for Mario 40. That's coming up. Well, let's move on to Mario versus Donkey Kong, which was announced at this Direct. Remake of the Game Boy Advance Mario versus Donkey Kong. As I would call it, the good Mario versus Donkey Kong. I'm not sure if you feel the same way.
Yeah, don't sleep on this one. This is the good one.
Because this is essentially the Game Boy Mario versus Donkey Kong, or the Game Boy Donkey Kong. Like, it's a sequel to that. Or the arcade Donkey Kong. It's that same concept of you have these little kind of generally like single screen puzzle boxes to get through. And it's such a good game. And this is like, while I'm not super excited about how many remakes were in this Direct, I'm admittedly pretty happy to have an excuse to play Mario versus Donkey Kong again.
Yeah, this is my kind of 2D Mario. This is more deliberate platforming. Like, there's some puzzle elements. It's good stuff. I recommend it. And it's cool to see, like, I'm not sure how much you remember, but the opening scene of DK watching TV and getting upset. It used to be like just kind of like low effort stills that
right.
looked kind of crappy on the Game Boy Advance screen, but like these are high effort animation in it. So in this remake, it's weird that this is the game that's getting some love, but I'm pleasantly surprised that it exists.
Right. I will admit when because we had heard some rumors before the Direct that Donkey Kong was going to be there. I had heard some things about potential Donkey Kong games. This was not what I was expecting.
Yeah, and when we heard that it was going to be Mario versus Donkey Kong, I was not expecting it to be not one of the ones with like the minis, the lemming style games.
Yes. Yes, they made the right call. How do you feel about, do you like the look of this one? It's always weird when they redo a Game Boy Advance game with kind of like the 3D graphics. How do you feel about the look of this one?
This one, I think, is probably one of my favorites in terms of
okay.
realizing a GBA game. Like, it's doing a lot of the similar things that we've seen with stuff like Advance Wars, where things look really cute and toy-like.
Yeah.
But I think because of the fact that this is made, like, the story is about, like, a toy factory and the Mario minis and stuff like that. So it makes more sense
it
that it
fits.
Looks like this.
Yeah,
it looks plasticky and fake in a way that makes sense.
We are getting a co-op mode in this, which I don't believe was in the Game Boy Advance version. I believe that's new. Yeah, my one disappointment is that this is just Mario versus Donkey Kong and doesn't include the Game Boy game. Because I'd love like a...
Yeah.
I'd like an entire series.
To remake this style of game, why not start with the very first one?
Or at least put that on... That's not on NSO either.
Is it not?
I don't think so. It should be. It does explain why this wasn't on NSO. But yeah, I'm very excited for this one.
I do wonder what team is working on it.
I do too. I feel like this could be a pretty small project.
Yes.
Like this definitely gives me those vibes of like something that could be running in like Unreal Engine from like a small team that's splintered off from someone else. Those are the vibes this game has given me. I believe it is a $50 or $40 game. I know it's not a full price release, which I kind of like with Game Boy. Like if you're going to remaster a Game Boy Advance game, like those games launched at, I believe, $39.99. Yeah. If not $29.99, so that I like them not being a full $60.
Honestly, even $50 would feel like a little too much.
Yeah, I don't remember. This is either $49.99 or $39.99. I don't remember for sure which one it is, but definitely not a full price game. But yeah, this is probably of the remakes that were shown. This might be the one I'm most excited for. I'm not a huge Paper Mario fan, so this is my game.
Yep, no, I'm very excited for this one as well. Assuming that it is $40, because then I'll pick it up day one. Like that's an easy get.
What if it's $45?
I'll do it, but begrudgingly.
Okay. Next up, we have Princess Peach. What was the name of this game? Showcase?
Princess Peach Showtime.
Showtime. I was almost right. Yeah. So this was one that it got announced in the June Direct as like Untitled Princess Peach game, which was weird that they did, and now we get an actual real trailer for it and a title. Why was this not just the announcement for the game?
I don't know. This game looks really good.
It looks great.
Super impressed by it.
Yeah, and I'm bummed out that it kind of lost all its momentum because they announced it weirdly 3 months ago before they were ready to announce it. It reminded me of like the Wii U era where you would get like the crazy early announcements of like we're gonna make a Yoshi game at some point, and then way later you'd hear about it. This was like an accelerated version of that, of just keep your mouth shut till you're actually ready to announce it. This would have had so much more weight if this was the first time we saw it.
They must have had at least this much ready to go 3 months ago, right? Like
they spent that 3 months working on the title. Yeah, that was they hadn't finished the logo yet.
I mean, they should go back to the drawing board on the logo. You can't have three different fonts for each word. You have three
allow
words
me to
in your
introduce
title.
You to the Donkey Kong Country Returns Tropical Freeze logo, especially the Switch version. I believe there's a lot of fonts in that logo. Nintendo loves too many fonts and too many colors and like a million strokes on the outside of every word.
Drop shadow and everything.
So much drop shadow, some nice beveling, just all of there's just somebody.
Oh yeah, Donkey
sitting.
Kong Country Tropical Freeze has like even like perspective warping and yeah. It's just like every tool you have in Photoshop, they're implementing all of
somebody
them.
Somebody was just standing behind that Photoshop guy screaming more like Kylo Ren. That's the design process for these logos. But yeah, no, this game, so I guess the concept is that you go to a theater to see a play and like an evil grape. Was that what it was called? Some sort of evil.
It's the Sour Bunch.
The Sour Bunch. Sour grapes. To take over the play. And it kind of seems like take up a part in the play. You get different costumes depending on the different plays and have to deal with them. Sometimes it looked like a platformer. Sometimes it looked more like a puzzle game. I think it was Willem in our Slack pointed out that it reminded him a little bit of like Luigi's Mansion, which I think it's a weird comparison, but I think it's kind of fair that combination of like, you know, sort of this not isometric, but sort of like side scrolling view of like a little puzzle box room where sometimes there's like some combat and sometimes there's more of just environmental puzzle solving to do. I'm super interested in this game and it seems less thematically problematic than Princess Peach's last game. So that's an improvement.
No, this is the first game in the Princess Peach series.
Right. That other one didn't. Well, that's the problem with the other one is that it's good. That's the bummer part, is that Super Princess Peach is a good game about how Princess Peach is powered by her unruly emotions as a woman.
She's got hormones and she's going to use them to save Mario.
And that's the plot of the game.
Yep.
And yep, that's a weird idea. Nintendo, don't do that. So this seems a little bit safer than that.
Yeah, it's such a good idea to do this right after the movie, too.
Yeah, I assume this has been, you know, must have been. I mean, I like the fact that they announced it in June had to have been because the movie was out and doing well and they just wanted to get Mario stuff out the door. Obviously, this must have been in development some amount of time before that. I don't remember what the release date is on this one. Was this one March 22nd? OK, so this is coming out next year. Yeah, it's honestly, even to be in a September Direct, this was kind of an early announcement for it. Like, on Nintendo's regular schedule, this probably would have been like a January Direct game. So I'm still surprised about how early we know about this game.
This should have been the one more thing for this Direct.
I think that would have played. I mean, obviously, Thousand Year Door is still going to be the big one for a lot of people. But right. I think, yeah, having your one more thing be a new game and not a remake, I think would have landed better for me. I don't know how it would have landed for everybody, but I think that would have worked better.
Yeah.
Honestly, opening with Thousand Year Door, I think, would work. If you can end with Princess Peach, mm-hmm. Thousand Year Door would make a heck of an opener.
No, I agree. And like it would have been so nice because I think Princess Peach plays to a wider audience because it is like a new game and
it's not an RPG. Yeah.
And it's like finally getting a game for a character that a lot of people have grown up with and mm-hmm. feel fondly for, but like there's not much about Princess Peach to get attached to.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be great to be reintroduced to this character in the way that we were reintroduced to Luigi and Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of like what we like about Luigi comes from that first game.
It's going to be interesting because like I think the Mario movie created such like Peach is a sort of characterless character most of the time.
Yeah.
And the Mario movie did such a good job of characterizing her. So it'll be interesting to see how this version lines up with what I would assume a lot of kids now see as Princess Peach. I bet she's not going to be as cool in this as she is in the movie, but
probably
we shall
not.
See. She does do kung fu in this, so that's neat.
And the sword fighting looks great.
And there's sword fighting. Yeah, maybe she'll be great.
I will. I have some like apprehension because this game seems to not have a single genre that it's going for, and it seems like it's going to be flip flopping between different styles of play.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cool, but it could also feel like everything that you do feels very thin.
Yeah.
And nothing feels like a complete package. So that's the one thing. I think the visuals look great though. And I do love the style of it being like theatrical, which has been in the through line of Mario since like what, Mario 3?
Yeah.
So it feels good to incorporate it here.
Yeah, I suppose I'll also throw out that this was one, when this was announced, there was discussion of maybe this is a cross-gen game with the Switch 2. I think that this coming out in March pretty much assures us that this is just a Switch game and not a Switch 2 game. For some reason, there were people who saw the trailer for this and were like, that's definitely a Switch 2 game. And I was like, it looks nice, but it doesn't look so nice that it couldn't run on Switch. I think we have confirmed that today.
Yeah, no, it looks nice, but like it looks like a nice Switch game.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
Yep. It looks like a first party Switch game that is not a Pokemon game.
Yep.
Yep. So last game on our list, Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door. It finally happened.
The big boy.
And now everyone can shut up.
Oh, man, I was so giddy when this got announced. I knew that Neil was throwing a fit, but I was like, this is so cool.
The funny thing with Neil is that he likes this game.
Yes.
I think he just hates the fan base of this game.
Yes.
Which I get.
There are some fair reasons for why that is. Like, I think a lot of people don't give Origami King and Color Splash due credit. But
I think that is the big problem, right? Is that, like, it feels like there's a tendency to like Thousand Year Door at the expense of stuff like Origami King, where it's like, why not just play both of them? Like,
No, Thousand Year Door can't just be their favorite Paper Mario game. It has to be the only good one, the last good one, the Paper Mario to end all Paper Mario, and they will never recapture the beauty that is Thousand Year Door. When in reality, like, the other games, from everything that I've heard, seems like they are incredible in their own right. But Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is special to me because it was my Paper Mario that came out when I was like 10 years old. So in that sense, like, it was a really cool announcement, but not one where I'm like completely 100% prepared for whatever they're going to do, because there are some things that need to either be addressed, and I'm not sure how they're going to address them. Namely Vivian and the horny robot that is like a peeping Tom to Peach.
I will say, based on the trailer, they didn't get rid of the pervy robot.
Nope, the pervy robot's still there. And it's just like, you just had a game where you're showcasing Peach as the protagonist. Are you really going to let it slide? The shit that happens in Thousand Year Door?
Oh man, the robot. Yeah. I say go in for, add new scenes. Really, really build up the sexual tension between Peach and the pervy robot.
Have Peach undress more in front of the robot.
Yes, there wasn't nearly enough of that in the base game. It's what the people want.
Well, the other thing...
Sadly, it is.
That's bizarre that people might want that. the other thing that caught me off guard was that I wasn't ready for how weird Thousand Year Door would look in the new Paper Mario style. Thousand Year Door features a lot of, like, grimy settings.
Yes.
A lot of dungeons. Rogueport is like run down. There's a lot of crime. It feels weird to be seeing this game in like a very clean, modern aesthetic. And I'm not sure if it gels. Like, it looks really good. Like, if I'm just speaking
like in isolation. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Outside of looking at like what the game is going for, it looks like a fantastic version of Thousand Year Door. But when you compare it to the vibe it goes for sometimes and the setting it goes for, it feels off.
Could we see the noose? We did see the noose. Okay. Yeah. I would agree that, like, yeah, the first two Paper Mario games are sort of like, they're paper in that the characters are flat, but the world isn't really based around that concept. And then once you get to Sticker Star, like, everything is literally made out of paper and cardboard. Which I really like, but I would agree with you that it's weird to see Thousand Year Door translated to a different art style. And I feel like I haven't seen very many people online talking about it. Maybe I've just missed it. I'm obviously not in the Paper Mario discourse, but I'm surprised there hasn't been more of a reaction to that than I've seen. Maybe there has, and I've just missed it.
Oh, I'm kind of like intentionally avoiding Paper Mario discourse at the moment.
That's my life's goal, is to avoid Paper Mario.
Yeah, I just want to enjoy this for whatever it is. I'm very happy that it exists, but I don't need to be embroiled in like the fights online. But like, Paper Mario in Japan was Mario Story, so it was more of like a storybook. Like,
right,
paper wasn't the identifier as much as it was like the fact that it's a storybook. So, yeah, the cardboard aesthetic, I think it looks nice, but it is different.
It looks fantastic. Like, I assume this is the same engine that runs Color Splash and Origami King, which I think are, like, two of the prettiest games Nintendo has ever made.
Yep.
The one mild bummer, and I talked about this in a video that's already up on our channel, is that it does appear to be running at 30 frames per second as opposed to the 60 that the GameCube version ran at. I'm not a big Paper Mario fan, but I could see that affecting like the timed button presses and making those slightly harder, because you're going to have a little bit more of a latency issue with that.
I mean, they could have just opened up the window a little bit.
They could. Yeah, and if they do, great.
I don't see how that's a big deal for an RPG.
I don't think it will be like 90% of the time. It would literally just be for what are essentially those little quick time events where it's like, it could have a quantifiable effect, but for the rest of the game, I don't think it matters. And it's one of those things where, like, you can look at what the game is doing visually and go, okay, I understand why we're at 30 frames per second. We can't all be Metroid Prime Remastered, where they can literally just open up the old code on the new version of the engine and just be like, it runs great. So it makes sense. I think it's totally justifiable that it runs at 30. But it would have been cool to see it at 60.
I do wonder if we're going to get any sort of bonus content in this at all.
Like new stuff?
Well, a lot of remasters or remakes from the Mario RPGs, at least for like the Mario and Luigi stuff, they would get like, here's a whole brand new mode that wasn't in the original.
Oh, sure.
Game. You know what would be cool is if you play as Luigi, because he will like go on his own adventure and then he'll talk to you nonstop about it. It'd be really neat if we got Paper Luigi and you get to play his story, but I doubt that's going to be the case.
That would be cool. We need more of those new Super Luigi U style DLCs.
Yeah.
Where they should just add on DLCs for all the Mario games where it's the same game, but you're just playing as Luigi's side story to Mario's main plot line.
You know what? I really hope they keep the Toad in the starting village who plays Fire Emblem on his Game Boy Advance. They need to keep that Toad. Maybe update it to a Switch and they're playing like Three Houses or something.
Yeah.
Or Engage.
I want that Toad to still be there, but now he's just complaining about how many Fire Emblem characters are in Smash Bros. He's had a change of heart. Or he's playing Engage, but he's complaining about how it's for filthy casuals, and back in his day there was permadeath.
It's like, I don't really like the art style, actually.
Yeah, he's like Iron Man or nothing.
Yeah, no, if the Toad grows up to be a filthy Fire Emblem elitist,
yeah,
that's the plot line I want.
That's canon. I don't care if that's in the game or not. That's 100% my headcanon for that.
That Toad is literally me. I'll just also throw in that we are not me literally, but Matt and Joe are streaming Paper Mario Thousand Year Door for Smashterpieces. That's ongoing. So if you want to check out our Twitch channel for some GameCube Paper Mario, then that exists.
It's like Switch Paper Mario, but at twice the frame rate.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I think that'll do it for Paper Mario. And with that, I think that's kind of going to do it for our show this week. It's going to be a nice short one because we're busy doing stuff about the Direct. Any final thoughts on this Direct that you wish to share, Alex?
Splatoon 3 is getting DLC.
Oh, I forgot.
It opened with Splatoon 3 DLC.
That's what put me in a bad mood for this whole Direct. That's why I was bummed out by it, as they opened with. Yeah, they should have waited on Peach. Opened with Thousand Year Door, closed with Peach. The perception of this Direct would be so much better if they did that.
The weird thing is that I actually think like they do the wildest visuals for Splatoon DLC. It looks really good, but I think it's also a roguelite.
Sure. That's kind of what it sounded like. I mean, they were talking about like replayability.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me most about Splatoon is that they're really good at hinting at what a cool world Splatoon could have if they ever decided to explore it without ever actually exploring it. Because I'll bet once you actually get into that DLC, you're going to be on platforms in vague nothing environments until the credits roll. They build up all of the setting and then don't do anything with it. And they have been doing that for three games.
Yeah, isolated levels, divorced from any sort of world. Yeah, yep. I understand.
Yep, no sense of place, no sense of actual progression through the world or meaningful story events.
But hey, the idols, there's something going on with them.
Sure.
This time around.
Wasn't that what happened in the first two?
That's literally always the plot. There's something going on with the idols.
It's like they got caught off guard by how successful Splatoon is.
Yeah.
And they're just like, we have no idea why this is working, but like people keep buying this game. We've literally released the same game three times and it works every time. So good job, Splatoon. You're nailing it. I don't know why, but you're nailing it. Send in your thoughts about the Direct to Connectivity at NintendoWorldReport.com. Follow us on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. And I guess we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.